So 2 weeks ago, we started into this new series, The Way, and in this series, we're just learning about Jesus, and we're doing that by looking at the gospel according to Mark, and each week we're asking this question, who is this man? And obviously, we like Jesus a lot, but one of the reasons we decided to camp out here at the beginning of this year is because we believe that Jesus, and I hope you heard this morning, that we believe that Jesus is worthy of worship, right? And we believe that firmly here at CCW, but we still want to answer the question, why? Why? Why should we worship Jesus? And I believe that as we get to know this man and who he is, we're going to see that he is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our devotion. That as we get to know him, not only that, we catch a glimpse of God in him, through him. The second reason that we decided to do this is because we believe that Jesus is worth emulating. In fact, any of you who have taken on the name Christian, you're saying, I want to become like this man. I want to act like him. I want to speak like him. But that's difficult to do unless you know who he is, right? You have to get to know him if you hope to be like him. And we believe that as you get to know him, that you're going to discover the person that you're designed to be. So while we're going to talk about life application, while we're going to talk about, we want you to become a better family member and spouse and parent and coworker and neighbor, we want all those things to change. Our goal in this series is to get to know Jesus Christ. And once we get to know Jesus Christ, I truly believe that we'll see transformation for our lives on the other side. So we created some resources to help you out as we go through this series, and while I'll point them out. First of all, you've got the group guides. We can use those as reflection guides. They have kind of a little section of scripture to read over and reflection questions that build on what we talked about this week. We have the Mark reading plan, so if you want to keep up with us and where we are in the gospel according to Mark, that's out there. And we also have this thing. This is a series postcard. Hopefully you got a chance to pick one up. And on the back of there are a lot of blanks, right? And each week, we're going to ask that question, who is this man? And each week, we're going to have a different answer to fill in. So let's see, a pop quiz here. First week, we asked, who is this man? And the answer is, Jesus is a man on mission. A man on mission. He knew why he came to this earth. He had clarity around what he was doing, and he lived life with intent. As a result, we can be people on mission. We get to spread the message about Jesus Christ. In week two, last week, we talked about how Jesus is a man of authority. Authority. That he has authority, that he has power because of who he is, because of his proximity to God, that he is God in the flesh, and that as we come to know him, we'll begin to understand why we should listen and do what he asks of us. And today, we're in week three, so welcome. Welcome to week three of The Way, and we're going to answer that question, who is this man? Now, just out of curiosity, how many of you enjoy 3D experiences? Like, you like 3D movies? Anybody? Anybody have a 3D TV at home? No. Oh, okay. Hasn't gone that far yet. So here's the deal. When I was a kid, and I can say that since I'm almost 40 now, when I was a kid, if you wanted to have a 3D experience, you had to go to a theme park. And actually, theme parks had all kinds of 3D experiences. How many of you remember this? Captain EO. This was at Epcot. Michael Jackson starred in sci-fi. Anybody remember this one? Yeah, bold move, Disney. But eventually, they replaced it with Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. And over at MGM or Hollywood Studios, they have The Muppet Show 3D. That's actually somehow still there today. If you went to Universal, you would get to see Terminator 3D. And these were so successful that the theme parks started adding 3D into their rides. So you had the early 3D rides like Star Tours or Hanna-Barbera. Later on, they got Spider-Man. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not sure I'm a big fan of the 3D experience, or at least I never really was. It could be because those early 3D experiences had a way of making me nauseous. It could be because when you wear glasses already, putting on a pair of 3D glasses is a little uncomfortable and a little redundant. Or it could be because, like, when they started, you know, when I was a teenager in the late 90s and early 2000s, they started having 3D movies all the time at movie theaters, right? And I never felt like that 3D actually added to the movie. In fact, a lot of times it was just like, look at this cool trick we can do. And it didn't make the movie better. It just, I don't know, made me nauseous instead. Not a good trade-off, right? And so I wasn't a big fan of 3D experiences, but in spite of what I felt about 3D, the technology has continued to be used, has continued to improve. And actually, one of my favorite rides at the Disney theme parks now is Toy Story Mania. It's a really fun experience. And if you ever get the chance, check out Avatar, the Flight of Passage, or Harry Potter, Escape from Gringotts. Both are excellent rides, and both use 3D well. Now, why am I talking about 3D? Well, I don't know if you're like me, but every time I go into one of these 3D experiences, at some point I have the temptation to take off my glasses, right? I don't know if it's the dash of curiosity or the dash of rebelliousness, but as soon as they say, you may now put on your glasses, I'm like, don't tell me what to do, you know? And then halfway through, I want to pop them off just to see what I'm missing without the 3D glasses, right? You ever taken your 3D glasses off? And it's not very impressive, right? It's a confusing jumble of images and lines. You need the glasses to see clearly. If you hope to see the show or the movie or the whatever, you need the glasses to make sense of everything. And Jesus, well, he's like a pair of 3D glasses. He helps bring clarity to the world around us, to the confusion, the chaos, and the jumble of images that we have going on in this life. Jesus is like a pair of 3D glasses. And that's why when I say, who is this man today? The answer I'm going to give you is this. Jesus is a man of revelation. Jesus is a man of revelation. And revelation is kind of it can be a scary word, right? Right now on Wednesday nights, we're actually doing a study through the book of Revelation. And everybody in the class, you know, they're coming with, oh, well, isn't this about end times? Or isn't it, you know, there's dragons and there's beasts and apocalypse and all this other stuff going on. It can be kind of a scary word, but it doesn't have to be. Revelation just means to reveal something, to reveal a truth. And that's what Jesus does, is he reveals truths to us. He helps us to see the world as it's meant to be seen. And when we gain a vision of who Jesus is, when we put on our Jesus glasses, we get to see this world in a whole new way. Now, in week one, we talked about how Jesus is a very dynamic teacher, how he was great at teaching, and he used all of these different teaching methods in his sermons and his teachings. So, for instance, sometimes Jesus used humor. Sometimes he used hyperbolic statements like this one, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Now, I look around the room, and either you guys aren't sinners, or you don't take that statement literally, right? Jesus was speaking hyperbolically. He also loved to use images and metaphors while he was speaking. He would say things like, you are the light of the world, or I am the good shepherd, you are my sheep. Loved to use metaphors. Jesus also was big into asking reflective questions. And when people asked him questions, often he'd ask a question back. This is something we call the Socratic method today. And he also used a whole lot of Old Testament images and pictures, and he would quote the Old Testament regularly, something that his first century followers, well, they got it. You know, they were like, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. But what he's probably most known for in his teaching are his stories. His stories. Jesus was a storyteller, and actually his stories have made such an impact. They're such a big thing that they have their own name. They're called parables. Parables. Now, have you ever read an Aesop's fable? You know, those are those little stories that usually have a talking animal that's the star of the show, and then it wraps up with a moral, like this. A fair face is of little use without sense, or birds of a feather flock together, or happy is the man who learns from the misfortunes of others. That's how Aesop's fables worked. Story, moral. Story, moral. Always. That was the equation. The parables, though, they work a little bit differently. Now, I gotta warn you, this quote, it's a little small up on the screen, but it is written on your sermon notes. And here's what it says. It's by this biblical scholar, Eckhard Schnabel, fun name. He said, Jesus' parables are not simple illustrations or theological truths or moral behavior. They often confuse. They shock. They challenge the listener and reader. The parables transport meaning by means of a story. And their meaning is not immediately understood, but requires insight as it lies in or above the story. The meaning is not exhausted by cognitive understanding. The parables actually push listeners and readers towards a personal response at the level of attitude, will, and action. That's a pretty academic statement, so let's break this down and talk about parables. Parables are truths delivered by a story with unexpected elements. Truths delivered by a story with unexpected elements. And that's what Eckhart says at the beginning of there. They would shock, they would surprise Jesus' listeners. And so often, the listeners, like we're going to talk about a parable today, the four soils, and the listeners would be listening, and they knew it was set in the culture of their time, but then Jesus would say something that would just like completely change the ending of the story. It wouldn't be what they expected. It'd be like watching an M. Night Shyamalan movie, you know? Right when you think what you know what's going on, all of a sudden there's this twist. That's how Jesus' parables worked. Not only that, his parables are meant to be reflected on to gain understanding. You have to think about them because, as Eckhart said, the meaning is often above or hidden in. Any of you guys ever see the movie Inception? There's a dream within a dream within a dream. Okay, that's how the parables work, is like at first, we just take it at surface value, but as we spend time and meditate on it and reflect on it and we camp out there, guess what? We see something else. And then if you keep staring at that parable long enough, what, there's something else behind that, okay? So parables are meant to be reflected on to gain understanding. Parables are meant to be taken in the context of Jesus' teaching. We have this tendency to mistranslate, misinterpret. Actually, on our Wednesday night class, as we're talking about Revelation, the teacher talked about this idea of highlighter theology. We just take the parts that we like from Scripture, and we're like, oh yeah, this verse, this is really good. But we ignore the surroundings. And Jesus was very intentional with the stories he told. Like, he wasn't just popping the story out and being like, oh, hey, say, you get your own interpretation. That's not how this worked. Like, he told stories with meaning, with intent, and with purpose. And so one of the things that we learned in this class on Wednesday is when we're reading something, context is important. What's happening around this parable? And it's good to read like four verses before, four verses behind, because a lot of times we're going to understand, oh, well, Jesus was answering this question. Or this is what was happening. And that shapes our understanding of what the parable is all about. And the fourth thing you need to understand about parables is parables are meant to change us. They're meant to change us. They're meant to transform our lives. Like the truth that Jesus is presenting in here, it's meant to change you. So if you read a parable and you don't have life change as a result, then you probably don't understand the parable. It's meant to change us. Jesus is calling his listeners and readers towards action. So now that you have a little framework for understanding what parables are, we're going to put on those Jesus classes and we're actually going to read some of these parables. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 4, so you can turn there in your Bibles. I'm going to read it for you, so if you don't want to turn there, that's okay. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the seats in front of you. And I'm just going to tell you the page number. Page numbers are a wonderful thing. Page 787. 787 is Mark chapter 4. It's in the bottom right of the page. And at the beginning, it says, again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. So Jesus' ministry has started off with a bang, all right? Like, stuff has happened. He's performed some miracles. People have been hearing about this great teacher. And crowds are coming out because they want to know what's going on here. Who is this guy? And there are so many people that it says that Jesus left the land and he actually stood on the boat out in the waters, partially because he was just getting crowded, but also he didn't have a mic like I do today, you know. And so for voice projection purposes, standing on the bow of a boat and speaking out over the crowds would work better. So that's why he's doing that. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching, he said to them, now, what I want you to do, as we read this parable, you may have learned things about it before. You may have heard this parable before. I just want you to come at it with a blank slate real quick, okay? Wipe your mind clean. Forget what you know or think you know. And just listen to this parable. Put yourself in the shoes of a first century person. You're not learned. You may not know how to read. You might be a farmer or a fisherman or something along those lines. And you're showing up to listen to this teacher. And this is the story he tells, okay? He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced again, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus calls his listeners to action at the end of this. But what action are they supposed to take? I mean, you just heard this story. This is all about gardening, right? Do you think this great teacher, this teacher who has been performing miracles, that he just wants to teach you some new gardening techniques? Is that what this is about? So I'm sure that his original listeners were a little confused here. I'm like, well, okay, Jesus, you told us to listen, and we listened. Now what are we supposed to do, right? And it wasn't just the crowds that were confused. It was those who were closest to Jesus. His disciples didn't get it either. And that's what we find in verse 10. It says, and when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And so Jesus is going to answer two questions for them. He's going to answer why he talks in parables, and then he's also going to tell them about this particular parable. What is this parable all about? Verse 11, and he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So Jesus, he tells his disciples that there's a secret here. The secret of what? The kingdom of God. The secret of the kingdom of God. Now, understanding parables, a lot of times it requires having the key to understanding that parable. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Is he's saying, hey, yes, I've told you this story, but to really get to the truth, you've got to understand the key. What is it that's going to unlock the truth here? And that's what the secret is all about. He says the secret is the kingdom of God. And in week one, I talked about the kingdom of God a little bit, but just a little review here. The kingdom of God is wherever God's power is being made manifest, wherever his love and his truth is invading this earth. And when we become Christ followers and his spirit fills us, we become a part of that kingdom, and we create little pockets of kingdom wherever we go. And so we can look at this and we can say, yeah, this makes sense, okay, reading this through the lens of the kingdom of God. But you've got to understand, for his first century followers, there was no kingdom of God yet. Jesus was announcing that the kingdom of God was near. Okay, the kingdom of God is coming soon. It's going to show up. But it wasn't until later in Jesus' ministry. He goes on and he does 3 years of ministry. Then he dies, right? He's executed on a cross. Good news, he rose 3 days later, resurrected from the grave. And then he spent 40 days with his disciples. And then at the end of that 40 days, he left, but something amazing happened. It says that the Spirit of God was poured out on those early disciples. And this, I'm going to argue that this is the point that the kingdom of God came into this earth for the first time in this way. The kingdom of God wasn't just near, now it was here. And his disciples, now filled with the Spirit, could look back and say, okay, I'm starting to see these kingdom truths. Now we're living 2,000 years after this fact. And those of you who have chosen Christ and have his Spirit, you get to start looking at things with a kingdom lens. You've already got it. We've got the secret here. But Jesus's early followers, they didn't understand this key. They didn't have the key to understanding Jesus's lesson. Now, Jesus goes on and says, here's why. And he quotes the prophet Isaiah. He says, I speak in parables because, they listen, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't understand. And he says, I've got a mission right now, and it doesn't involve saving everybody right now. These people weren't ready to hear the message. They weren't ready to hear the truth behind the parable. Jesus was like preparing them. He knew where he was going, right? He was living this life on mission. He knew that the cross was 3 years away. And he knew that the power of the cross and his sacrifice, the power of the Spirit, well, that's when people could have these things revealed to them. And so he goes on and he explains what this parable is all about. He says in verse 14, the sower sows the word. So what is the seed here? What's the seed that's getting scattered around? It's the word. The word, the gospel, the good news, the truth, right? It's the very fact that Jesus and the kingdom of God are here. That's the seed. And he goes on and he says, so the seed is sown, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. See, Jesus has given us the key to understanding this parable, but he helps us out here a little bit. He says, when we look at this parable as the kingdom of God, the seed is the gospel message. And we are the soils. He says there's four types of soil here, right? There's that hard-packed soil where we hear the gospel and it just bounces off. It just bounces off. Others of us are like the rocky soil. We hear the gospel message and we get excited about it. We're like, yeah, this is true, this is good, and we start to grow, but we have no root. Now, I got to see this all the time, actually, when I was working as a youth minister. High schoolers, we would take them to a trip called Christ in Youth. It was great. It was a lot of fun. We would worship together. We would celebrate. We would hear God's word. And everybody would be making these commitments like, oh, man, I'm going to go live life differently. When I get back, my life's going to be totally changed. And then 2, 3, 4 weeks down the line after we got back, things withered. Why? Because there was no root. There was the excitement about the gospel, but no root there. Some of us are like soil that has a lot of weeds in it. We got all these other things that we fear, all these other things that are choking out the gospel message in our life. And some of us are the good soil, where this seed not only starts growing, but it produces fruit. And not just little fruit, like 30, 60, 100 times the fruit. So it's so much fruit in our life that the people around us start getting to take part in that fruit. They get to experience the gospel message through us. So when we understand the key, we start to see the parable differently, right? We see things differently because Jesus is a man of revelation, and he's not just telling a story about gardening, he's telling us a story about the kingdom of God. And this should shape how we view ourselves and how we view the world. Because there are some good questions here, right? Like, obviously, you hear this, and probably the first question you should ask is, well, which soil am I? Right? Which soil am I? Am I the, good soil that's producing gospel fruit? Or is the gospel getting choked out in my life? Which soil am I? But my goal here isn't to focus on what this particular parable means. It's to get back to focusing on what this reveals to us about who Jesus Christ is. Once again, Jesus Christ is a man of revelation. A man of revelation. And this is what he says in the next section. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is it anything secret except to come to light." So Jesus is saying, I know what I said is confusing, but ultimately the goal is that the truth needs to get out there. You don't light a lamp and put it underneath a bowl. My kids, they love hide and seek. They love manhunt. But imagine a game of hide and seek where my daughter's just like standing in the corner with a sheet. And everybody knows she's there, but we just ignore her. And, she's, 3-4 days later, she's still standing there under the sheet. Like, that's not a very fun game, is it? And that's what Jesus says. He's not telling these stories to confuse people. Like, that's not the actual intent. The intent is to find the truth buried within. That's the goal here. He believes that deep, life-changing truth sticks better when it's told through a story, and then when the listener has that key to the parable, well, then we get it. And then he tells his disciples what to do next. He says, okay, so if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus says, you've got to invest yourself in this. You've got to read it and reread it and meditate on it and hear it and listen to it and pray over it. And that all that energy, all that effort, well, it's going to be worth it in the end. It's going to be worth it in the end. Now, have you ever seen one of these pictures? I'm sure you have. When I was a kid, they would have books of these, right? And I would spend hours trying to look at it, because when you look at it in the right way, or for long enough, or for something, a 3D image will pop out. And so I would spend hours doing this, and most of the time it just gave me a headache. Like, I could not see the image. But every once in a while, all of a sudden I would see it. And it's such a dumb thing, but it was celebratory. I'm like, I can see it. Like, this is a big deal, right? And it's because all of that effort that I poured into it made that thing worthwhile, right? It made that thing worthwhile. And Jesus is saying, hey, you're going to measure, the measure you use, the more you pour into this, the more you will get out of it. So listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't listen to the surface 2D stuff. Go 3D with this. Put on your glasses. Hear the truth about the kingdom. So, quick review. Jesus often spoke in parables. He didn't do this just to confuse us. He recognized those deep life-changing truths stick when it's told in the context of a story. And when the listener has the key to that parable, it changes how they see things. It introduces them to a reality that helps them see beyond all the confusion and see this world clearly as it is, both the world themselves and others around them, okay? Jesus is a man of revelation. So what do we do with all this? I mean, this is good, knowing Jesus is a man of revelation, but it should move us into action. And if Jesus is a man of revelation, that means that we need to be a people who are willing to be revealed to, right? We want Jesus' truths to be revealed to us. And that means we're going to do exactly what he told his disciples here. Listen. Pay attention. Pay close attention to Jesus' words. Look for the key that unlocks the truth. Meditate on his words and allow them to saturate into your very life. The result is transformation. And we're going to put that into practice this morning. See, Jesus is going to go on and he's going to tell two more parables in Mark chapter 4. And I'm going to invite you along in this journey. And you already got the key now. These parables are also about the kingdom of God. So I'm going to ask you to listen to this. And listen for truths about the kingdom of God that are popping out to you in the midst of this story. Here it is. Verse 26, and he said to them, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Once again, farming techniques, right? No, we've got our kingdom perspective, right? We've got the kingdom key here. We know the secret to this. Now, true meditation usually requires that you go back to the story again and again and again. So I'm going to ask you to read this again with me. And this time, what I want you to do is just breathe out real quick. Clear your mind. Get all the other nonsense and junk out of there. And focus in on what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. So, what truths about the kingdom of God is Jesus revealing to us through this parable? This isn't a rhetorical question. I'm looking for answers here. What truths is Jesus revealing to us about the kingdom of God in this story? Okay, that it's there, right? We don't always see it, but it is there, waiting to grow. What else? What else? What else you got? Other truths? He causes the growth. Okay, we can't claim this for ourselves. Like, we might have a job to do. We're supposed to scatter that seed, right? You know, as messengers of Jesus Christ, we scatter the seed. But we're not forcing the growth on this thing, right? Like, God's doing the growth. Just like, listen, we live in, you know, the age of science, and so we know how things grow, but we still don't force things to grow. God's doing the growth here, and it's causing this kingdom seed to sprout and produce. What else do we learn? Yeah, okay, so we get to take part in this, right? That's pretty exciting. We have a job here. Scatter the seed. What else do we learn about the kingdom? What's that? Keep saying it out loud. I can't hear you. Okay, hey, there's a harvest coming, right? There's a harvest coming. When the kingdom of God comes to fruition, the harvest is ready, right? And I just want to point this out, guys. Like, you know, this is a short little story, and we just said four really big truths about the kingdom of God. We said four really big things. And that's because, once again, we're reading this story not in the context of just listening with our ears, but we're now putting on those Jesus glasses and listening to it with that key of the kingdom of God in our mind and hearing it for what it is. And as we spend more time there, more stuff will pop out to you. These are life-changing truths. The kingdom of God is growing all around us, and that growth, it's often gradual. It's often mysterious. We don't always see it, but it's happening, right? And we get to play part in it. That's good news, right? That's good. Now, there's a second parable, and we're going to do the same thing. This time, I'm going to read it twice, okay? I'm going to read it twice to you. Listen up. With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Again, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth, yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Just remember, Jesus is a man of revelation. What is he revealing to you? What truths of the kingdom are being revealed to you through this parable? What do you hear? What's that?
Growth is visible.
Okay, growth is visible. We should see growth happening, right? Like, it, if you come to Jesus and you just let it sit there forever and it's just a seed underground, you know what happens to that seed eventually?
It dies.
It decays. It doesn't grow, right? Growth is visible. What else do we learn about the kingdom of God?
Result in such a tremendous harvest.
Yeah, this is true. That we don't realize the impact of the kingdom of God right away. We don't realize. And here it says, like, all the birds of the earth, birds from every different nation are going to come and they're going to sit in the shade of this kingdom of God. This kingdom isn't meant for just us. It's going to go out and impact other people. But it takes us being willing to allow that kingdom truth to grow in us, right?
There's no comparison to the kingdom of God.
There's no other kingdoms that match up to it, right? It's bigger than all the other kingdoms that are out there. Like, we might look around and we might say, hey, there's power. But no, the kingdom of God is bigger than everything else. These are beautiful truths, guys. And like I said, we continue to spend time here as we continue to let Jesus' story roll over us and we continue to reflect on it and meditate on it. We're going to see those truths even more. And those truths should shape how we see this world and how we see each other. Jesus Christ is a man of revelation. He's a man of revelation. So when we listen closely to his message, when we look for the key to his stories and meditate on his words, those life-changing truths, they'll come to fruition in our life. But of course, I recognize that there are probably some of you who today heard these stories and you're just like, yeah, I don't get it. Like, you just don't see much there. Maybe they just sound like meaningless nonsense or some gardening techniques. I get it. Perhaps, you know, your eyes and ears haven't adjusted to catch a glimpse of the kingdom that Jesus is talking about. And this, I mean, you're not alone. This makes sense. Remember, to his first century followers, to the crowds, when he spoke these things, it didn't make sense. And the reason is they didn't yet have the Spirit of God inside of them. And what we learn is, as a result of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, that we now get this opportunity to have God live inside of us as a result of Jesus Christ. When we come to know him who he truly is, and when we make that surrender, it says in Scripture that his Spirit comes and inhabits us. So if you're ready to see this life differently, man, if you're ready to see this world in a new way, see yourself in a new way, maybe you need to get a pair of Jesus glasses. Amen. Right? Maybe it's time to take off whatever you're looking this world through and embrace Jesus and embrace his Spirit. And that's the invitation I want to put out to you who do not know Jesus Christ. The prayer team's going to come up here in just a few minutes. And when they do, man, don't walk out of this room. I'm begging you. Like, don't walk out of this room without starting the conversation about what it means to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to have that conversation with you. Now, there are a lot of you who have chosen Christ. And let me tell you this. I got new glasses recently. The first couple weeks I had these glasses, my wife relentlessly made fun of me. Because she wasn't used to looking at them on my face. It's just, this is a side story entirely. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But she gave me a hard time. But here's the deal. These glasses have the exact same prescription as my previous pair of glasses, but it still took some adjustment time. You know, I remember sitting in my office staring at the computer and my eyes just getting, like, such bad eye fatigue that I couldn't keep my eyes open. I had to keep, like, closing them because they were getting tired. Same exact prescription, but my eyes took time to adjust. And that's how it is with those of us who already know Christ. You might put on the glasses, but it doesn't mean it's going to make sense all at once. You realize that, right? You got to allow Jesus to adjust your vision, all right? It's going to take time. It's going to take effort. It's going to take pouring in, but just like, you know, just like that image, right? The result is worth the investment. So this is my challenge to you. Those of you who know Christ, we practice today learning to see truth in and beyond the parable stories that he told, allowing Christ to reveal these things to us. On the back of your bulletin inserts, I actually put together a little page that has some more parables on it. And what I'm going to challenge you to do is to read those parables this week. But don't just read them for information. I know this is how we read as Westerners. We just, you know, pick up the book and we're like, well, here's a fact. No, don't do that. Just read it and reread it and meditate on it and pray over it and allow God to reveal things to you through these stories that Jesus told. Take time. Jesus is a man of revelation, right? But revelation takes us putting in the effort the energy to allow him to reveal those things to us. He wants to help us see this world in a whole new way. And that's the invitation to you, Christ followers. Time to change your vision. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for the beauty of your Son and what he accomplished on this earth. And I apologize, Father, because I do find myself a lot of times just looking for the facts, looking for what my head can recognize as true, but I realize that your truth is so much bigger, Father. Your truth is so much bigger, so I ask for revelation, Father. I ask that you help me to see things the way that you see them. I pray that over the rest of our community as well, that we stop being just people who know the word, but be people who are living the word, people who are seeing the word, people who are embracing the word and living it in such a way that other people notice it, Father. I pray for those here who do not know your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask that you soften their hearts today. Help them to catch a glimpse of this kingdom that you have created, Father, your kingdom, and help them to be hungry for that. There are so many other things to focus on in this life, Father, but ultimately they're all gonna leave us empty. I know that. I've wasted my time there. So I pray for truth, I pray for hope, I pray for love, I pray for revelation. It's in your name we pray. Amen.